Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Erevin Tzadik Dalad. We are three lines from the bottom on Tzadik Gimel on base. And resuming our discussion regarding some event that transpired on Shabbos that changed the equation with regards to the Erev. So the question is, does that event actually change the halacha as well, or does the halacha remain the same? So if you are allowed to carry throughout this area, even after this event occurs on Shabbos, perhaps you can still continue carrying. Or do we say that since the equation changed on Shabbos, so does the halacha? Says the Gemara, three lines from the body, it's my relearned. Koisol shebein shtei chatzeres shenafal. If there was a wall running along the boundary between two chatzeres, so this wall separated them, they made their own separate Erev. Now this wall collapsed on Shabbos. So now instead of having two separate chatzeres, we have one single entity. And they didn't really make an Erev, one chatzer with the other. So can they continue carrying just as they did at the onset of Shabbos or not? Rav Amar, Ein Metalten Boy, El B'dalad Amis. You can only carry within four Amis. We're speaking about the household items in the chatzar, because it's a joint chatzar. It's a jointly used area. We have new residents that arrived on Shabbos. The wall separating them disappeared. Now we have many more residents living in this enclosure. And since there's no Erev amongst them, you can't carry more than four Amis. Ushmol Amar, no problem. Continue just as you did up until now. Zem etaltel adika mechitza. The member of this chatzar can carry his kelim up until the base of the former mechitza. Vezem etaltel adika mechitza. Likewise, the fellow on the other side may carry even his household items up until the point of the mechitza. We consider the Erev still to be intact. Everything is as is. Says the Gemara, v'hod Rav, this opinion of Rav, that the halacha changes on Shabbos itself, la beferish itmar, wasn't explicitly expressed. El mechlola itmar, rather, was implied from the following story. The Rav Shmuel havu yasvi ba'u chatzar. Rav Shmuel was sitting in this chatzar, nafal guda the beni beni, that wall separating the two chatzeres fell apart. Amar lo Shmuel, so Shmuel turned to him and said, shkulu glima, take a garment, negiduba, and go spread it over where the mechitza used to be. Because you're allowed to carry, even in this chatzar. Although the wall fell apart, but it still maintains its heter status. And Shmuel is consistent with his view that we say once there was a heter, Shabbos Shehutra, Hutra remains that way throughout Shabbos. Now Rav was there, so when he instructed him to carry in his chatzar, Adrinu Rav La'api, Rav turned his face away in protest. Amar lo Shmuel. So Shmuel turned to him and said, Ikapid Abba. Abba is in reference to Rav. It's a distinguished title, Abba. So Shmuel told him, if Rav is objects to what we're doing, then you know what you should do? It was in a joking manner. He said, Shkulu Hemyane, take his belt, Vikatrubel, and use it to tie the sheet over there in the middle of the chatz, between the chatzeres. So he also participates in this tying ceremony. Miri says it was like in a joking manner. If he objects, let's get him involved in the effort as well. So in any case, from the fact that Rav seemed to object to what was going on, we learn that Rav didn't hold the heter. He holds that since the wall fell apart even on Shabbos, they can't continue carrying as they did beforehand. Says the Gemara, Ulishmuel lamaliha. So according to Shmuel, why did they have to go ahead and reestablish that mechitza, hang the garment as a curtain? Ha'amar, didn't Shmuel tell us? There's no need for a mechitza. Zeh metaltel adika mechitza. This chatza can carry until the mechitza. Vzeh metaltel adika mechitza. This one can carry until the base of the mechitza. You don't have to go ahead and reconstruct the mechitza. The chatzeris can resume carrying, can continue carrying, just as they did beforehand. There's no need for that separating mechitza. So why did he need to hang up the garment as a mechitza? Shmuel Ovid, let's nusa b'alma. Shmuel was simply doing it for privacy purposes, but halachically, indeed, no mechitza was needed. V'rav, isvir le de aser. Now, if Rav holds that you can't carry in this chatzar, lemalei, why didn't he just tell him? Why did he turn around and just kept quiet? Asri de Shmuel hava. It was Shmuel's town, Shmuel's area, and it wasn't respectful for Rav to object, to express his objection. If that's the case, my time, adrin lapay, so why did he turn around? If it's Shmuel's locale, in which case it's inappropriate to object, to express objection, so why did he turn around in a manner which seemed to indicate that he wasn't happy with what was going on? He simply did it so that people wouldn't think that he reverted to Shmuel, that he changed his mind. And he conceded to Shmuel's shita. And therefore, he needed to do something, some sort of subtle form of disapproval, but certainly didn't want to express it verbally and openly, which would be an affront to Shmuel's honor. Continues the Mishnah. Chatzar shenifra selishas rabim. If you have a chatzar nirishas rabim, which was breached, he lost some of his walls between himself and rishas rabim. Hamachnes metoich rishas yochid. So according to Rabbi Lezer, this chatzar now is regarded like a rishas rabim because it lost a full wall or a portion which was greater than 10 amos. It's a pirtza. It's been breached and exposed to rishas rabim. So the chatz in itself is also rishas rabim, and therefore hamachnes mitoich rishas hayachid. The person transfers from this chatzar, which is deemed like a rishas rabim, to rishas hayachid, oyim rishas hayachid l'soicha, or in reverse, chayev. Divrei Rabbi Elazar, who regards this area like a rishas rabim, since it's open and exposed to rishas rabim nearby. Chacham ayrim, they say no. At most, it's a karmelis. It's neither rishas hayachid nor rishas rabim. You can't say this becomes a rishas rabim. It's somewhere in between. Therefore, the Chachamim say, "Chachamim ayim mitoichel rishus harabim, oyim rishus harabim matzoicha poter." If he carries from this area to rishus harabim on reverse, he's poter. Because it's a karmelis, meaning it's no longer a rishus hayachid. Even min haTorah, it's no longer rishus hayachid. Rather, it's somewhere in between. It's in limbo. So, if one should transfer from rishus harabim to this area, he's poter because it is a karmelis. So, but as a whole, it's rishus harabim. Was Rabban hold not so quick? At most, a karmelis. Says the Mavre Rabbi Lezer, Mishum de Nifritza, Lashis Rabbim. Just because his chatzar has been breached to Shis Rabbim, Havi Lashis Rabbim, that makes it into Shis Rabbim, it's still privately owned. In, yes, Rabbi Lezer Tamei, Rabbi Lezer follows his shita, the Sanya. Rabbi Da'ima, Mishum Blezer, Rabbim, Shebiru Derech La'atzm. If the public chose for themselves a pathway through private property, mashebaru baru, whatever they've chosen is theirs, it becomes rishus harabim. Here as well, since this chatzar is exposed to rishus harabim, apparently the rabbim are using it, at least part of it, it becomes rishus harabim. Eini, is that the right pshat in that halacha? V'amar of Gidol Rav, he explained that it's not always applicable. The rabbim can't just come along and grab somebody's property. The halacha of Rabbi Lezer only applies to a specific case. V'hu provided she'avdo lehen derech b'yisei sadeh. They knew that they had a pathway somewhere through this fellow's field. They just weren't sure exactly where. So whereas a private individual has to go summon this fellow to Bezin, take legal action to figure out where his pathway is, the rabbim don't have that trouble. They can just go ahead. They have a right to just go ahead and choose any pathway they wish, and that becomes their property. Rashi in Rashbam actually, Bava Basra says, look, the Rabbim, who's going to go summon this fellow to Bezin? Reuven, Shimon, Levi, nobody's going to take care of it. So that's the halacha, that we don't require them to have to trouble themselves to go to Bezin. As long as they choose something, it belongs to them. But that's only provided that they already had user rights in this chatzar. They owned some sort of pathway here. How could you compare it to our case? Says Rav Chitay Machinami, perhaps here as well, we're speaking Kigoyin, for instance, that they already had user rights here. Meaning, we're not speaking about giving them rights to the entire chatzar. What happened was the mechitza collapsed. and mechitza separating the chatzar to shesrabim fell apart. Now there's a legal battle going on between the property owner who claims, look, this spot here was actually where my mechitza stood. It's part of my property. Whereas the bnei rishis shesrabim are claiming, no, this is not where your property ended, you were much further in. Our street actually extended to this point as well. So there's a dispute between the property owner and the public here. So that's the discussion. They claim that this area belongs to them. And being that they're walking and they're using it, they have rights to go ahead and acquire this and it becomes like a Rosh Hashanah. It's special rights we give to the public that they can go ahead and attain rights to this disputed property. So if that's the case here, that we're not just speaking about grabbing this guy's property. Rather, we're speaking about an area which is in dispute, and the fact that they use it turns it into a Rosh Hashanah. So if that's the case, v'chite ha-machanami kyunsh av dhander v'oy sasode v'homer av chanina. But didn't Rabbi Chanina say, ad mokim mechitza machlekes, that until the place of the partition, up until that place, meaning the entire chatzar, up until the outer boundary, the outer mechitza, is the subject of machlekes in our Mishnah, which indicates that Rabbi Lezer regards the entire chatzar like Rosh Hashanah as well. Says the Gemara, Ema, say as follows, al mokim mechitza machlekes. Not ad mokim mechitza machlekes, which indicates that the entire chatzar is potentially Rosh Hashanah according to Rabbi Lezer. No, of course not. Because the chatzar certainly belongs to this fellow. There's no claim on account of Rosh Hashanah to this entire chatzar. Rather, al mokim mechitza machlekes. The machlekes in our Mishnah pertains to the place, the spot where the mechitza stood, where the owner claims, look, this is my property, this is where my mechitza stood, whereas the Bnei Rosh Hashanah are disputing that fact, saying, no, your mechitza was further in, and this spot actually was part of the Rosh Hashanah. So in this case, we have machlekes, Leza says, it turns into Rosh Hashanah, whereas the Chachamim maintain a karmelis, but not more than that. V'ba'isim, another pshat. I'm not speaking about a case where there's a dispute, a legal battle going on between the Rosh Hashanah and this landowner regarding the exact placement of his location of his former mechitza. Everybody knows exactly where the mechitza was. Nevertheless, Rabbi Lezer holds, since the mechitza is here no longer, and we have an area here which is immediately alongside the Rosh Hashanah, it's right on the side, and they go ahead and they spill over to this area. It's part of the publicly used area. It's called Sidei Rosh Hashanah. Therefore, Rav Lezer holds it has a din of Rosh Hashanah. The fact that they walk there, they use it, it acquires a status of Rosh Hashanah. V'bo'i same another pshat but Sidei Rosh Hashanah k'miflugi. Machlekes in Rav Lezer and Chachamim is really a more general machlekes. What is the status of Sidei Rosh Hashanah, the area alongside Rosh Hashanah? The Rav Lezer Savar, Sidei Rosh Hashanah, Ki Rosh Hashanah Domu. He holds that the sides of the street have a din of the street itself, and is a din of Rosh Hashanah. And in our case, the spot where the former Mechitza stood, which is alongside Rosh Hashanah, has a din of Sidei, and therefore has a din of Rosh Hashanah. For Rabbanan Savar, they hold Sidei Rosh Hashanah Lav Ki Rosh Hashanah Domu. It's only on the side, the sides of the street. That's not the area, the main area, which is traversed by the public and does not have a din of Rosh Hashanah. Says more, if that's the machlekes, then why are they applying the machlekes specifically to a case where we have the chatzar that fell apart? V'liflag bit Sidei Rosh Hashanah the Alma. Why don't they have their machlekes regarding a typical Tzidei Rosh Hashanah? Says Gemara, I afligu, b'tzidei Rosh Hashanah ba'alma. If their machlekes would have pertained to a general Tzidei Rosh Hashanah, I wouldn't know that we can apply the same halacha to our case. Why? However, Amrina, perhaps I would say, Ki pligi Rabban ole, the Rabban Lezer. You know when the Rabban disagrees with Rabban Lezer? That's only hani mili. That's only hechad ikah chifufi. When there are chifufi, Rashi describes this as some type of obstacles, pegs and stones, which were positioned along the sides of Shisaram to prevent the wagons from crashing into the homes and damaging them. So behind those barriers, very few people walk. It's not part of the main public walking area. So perhaps that type of area, that variety of Sidur Shisaram, according to Chachamim, is not regarded as part of Shisaram. Aval hecha deleki chifufi. But in a case where there are no barriers, there are no chifufi, such as in our case, where entire wall collapsed, there's nothing to keep people away from that area. Ema moidule. Perhaps in this case they would agree to him that this has a din of Rishus Rab. Kamash malon. That's why the Mishnah informs us. And no, even in this case, where there are no chifufi, there's nothing preventing the Rabbin from walking through, since it's merely on the side of Rishus Rab, it's not part of the main walkway, does not have a din of Rishus Rab. Says the Gemara, one second, we're speaking about which area? The Makam HaMachitza, which is right alongside Rishus Rab. So if we take a look at the Mishnah, the wording of the Mishnah seems to be a bit difficult, because the Mishnah begins by saying, Echatza, which was Nifratz, what is the Halacha? HaMachnas Mitoicha, Rishus HaYachad. If one transfers from within this Chatzar to Rishus HaYachad, or in the reverse, he's Chayiv. According to Rabbi Lezer, apparently, not only the Mokayim HaMachitza, which is right alongside Rishus Rabim, is Rishus Rabim. It appears that the entire Chatzar is considered Rishus Rabim. V'Mitoicha Ka'amar. Mishnah clearly references to within, from within this Chatzar. He carries from within to where Rishus HaYachad is Chayiv. So apparently the entire Chatzar is Rishus Rabim. Says the Gemara, no. The choice of words were simply on account of the choice of words of the Rabbanan. I did Omer Rabbanan Mitoicha. Since the Rabbanan used the word Mitoicha, Omer Iunami Mitoicha, that led Rabbi Lezer as well to refer to it as Mitoicha, but certainly inside the Chatzar there's no discussion. Of course, it's not a Rishus Rab. It's merely the Makam HaMechitza, which is alongside the Rishus Rab. That's up for discussion. Says him, okay, so Blazer is on account of the Rabbanon, but why did the Rabbanon refer to the actual interior of the Chatzar as well, which was not a point of discussion? Says him, over Rabbanon, Amar Blazer, Tzidur Shisurab. How do we understand the Rabbanon? Blazer said, Tzidur Shisurab, meaning the place where the Mechitza once stood, that's considered a Shisurab. Umahadrule Inu Mitoicha. So that led them to respond to him by referencing the interior of the Chatzar. What's the connection? He said, Rabbi Lezer spoke about Mitoicha because of the Rabban. Why the Rabban? How are they making their point by mentioning Mitoicha? It seems to be unrelated to the Machlekes. Says the Gemara, Hachik Amri Rabban Rabbi Lezer. The choice of words of the Rabban were meant to provide an argument, a claim against Rabbi Lezer. Hachik Amri Rabban Rabbi Lezer. This is what the Rabbanan were trying to tell him. Mila kaimoy dislan. Do you not agree with us? Hecha de tilta mitsecha. The Rishus Rabim. A person transfers from within this Chatzar over to Rishus Rabim. Or in the reverse. Om Rishus Rabim seicha. The potter. He's certainly potter. Why? Because it's considered to be a karmless. So do you not agree that the Chatzar itself, which is breached open to Rishus Rabim, and Tosis actually learns the reason why it's a karmelis is because it doesn't even have three mechitzes. So you agree that the chatzar itself is a karmelis, right? If that's the case, tzidei nami lo yishna. Even the sides of the Rishus Rab, meaning the makam of that mechitza, the place of that collapsed wall, which is right alongside Rishus Rab, there as well. You should agree with us that there's no difference between in the chatzar and along the boundary of the chatzar. At most, it's a karmelis. It doesn't become a Rishus Rabim. So that's why they mentioned Mitoicha. Let's let's connect the two things. You agree that inside it's a karmless, so you should agree that the boundary as well is a karmless. So what was his response? Reb Lezer, he responded, Hasam lekadarsa l'rabim. In the interior of the chatzar, the rabim don't traverse there. It's not a trampled area. Therefore, it can't become a shesarabim. Ha-ha, however, the boundary, kadarsa l'rabim. The public tramples there, and therefore, it becomes annexed to shesarabim and has a din of shesarabim. So in conclusion, we spoke about a chatzar, which was nifras to shesarabim, and the Gemara concluded that the discussion is regarding the tzidei shesarabim, the area right alongside the shesarabim, the makam of the machitza, which is no longer here, which is right alongside the street, going to a blazer, tzidei shesarabim has a din of shesarabim, as the Gemara concluded, because it's used by the rabbim, they walk through here, whereas according to Rabbanon, does not have a din of a real shesarabim, rather we treat it merely like a kindness. Continues the Mishnah. Chatzar shenifrasel shesarabim, mishtei ruchaseh. If we have a chatzar which lost part of its walls, it was breached to a shesarabim on two sides. Two of its mechitzes were partially collapsed. V'chein bayis shenifras mishtei ruchaseh. Likewise, a house that was breached on two sides. V'chein mavoi shenitlu karoisav olachayav. Or, during Shabbos, the kaira, or the lechi, of the mavi went missing. So what is the halacha? Mutarim ba'is ha-Shabbos. They can continue carrying in these areas, the chatzar, this house, this mavi. You can continue using them during this very Shabbos, because it maintains its permissible status. V'asurim la'sad lavi, but in the future, you can no longer carry. Did Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yossi Aymer, he says, one way or the other, im mutar l'isa Shabbos. If they're mutar for that Shabbos, mutar l'isa lavei. Then let them be mutar for all time. Im asur l'isa lavei. If they're asur for all time, asur l'isa Shabbos. Then they should be asur for the Shabbos as well. Rashi explains, based on the Gemara, that his main point was the second part of the statement. Just as it's asur for all time, it's going to be asur for the Shabbos as well. So the Mishnah began with a chatzah which was nifratz, mishtei ruchaseh, on two sides. Says the Gemara, b'maya skinen. What are we speaking? Why is it only a concern if it has a double breach? Ilei mebe'eser, if we're speaking about a pirtza which is merely 10 amas in size, in which case has a din of a entranceway, ma'ish no meruach achas, darminem pischehu. So, why is it different when if it's only from Meiruach Achas in one direction, you say there's no concern because it's a Pesach. It's small enough in size to be regarded as a Pesach and doesn't change the halacha of the house or of the chatzur. Ma'ish no Meiruach Achas damrin pischehu, mishtei ruches nami pischehu. If that's the case, even if you have a double breach, one pirtza in one direction, one person, the other wall, if they're merely 10 amas in size, then you're still okay. So apparently, we can't be speaking about a pirtza which is merely 10 amas in size. Because even if it would be mishtei ruchais, it wouldn't do any harm. Ella b'yesem esa. Apparently, the pirtza here is larger than 10 amas. In which case, it's no longer regarded as a pesach. Yihach, if that's the case, afilu miruach achas nami. Even if this breach is only on one side of the chatzar, it goes ahead and renders the mechitzas obsolete. It's a peretzah. So why does the Mishnah describe it as being mishtei ruchos? Afilu miruach achas nami. Even if it would be from one direction, it would be us. Amar Rav lo'ilim be'eser. Certainly we're speaking about a peretzah which is merely 10 amas in size, which generally is regarded as a pesach. Why in this case isn't it? We're speaking that the chatzar was breached where? At the corner, where the two mechitzas meet. And that's what the Mishnah means. Mishtei ruchaseh. Where the two corners, the two mechitzas meet. So it's partly on this side, partly on that side. What's wrong with that? The pischa bekeren zavis, layav de inshi. People don't construct an entranceway in a corner. It's not a convenient point. It's not a proper area for an entranceway. And therefore, halachically, it doesn't have a din of a Pesach. Let's see Rashi up on top. Kosh Nifritza says Rashi, but Pirtza Achas has one Pirtza, Shetifeses, Mishteru Chaseo. It takes up part of both walls. Tanya B'Karen Zavas, right in the corner. What's wrong with that? The Pischel B'Karen Zavas, Le'avdi. Lav Urchei Hu. It's not a common place to make a Pesach. That's what the Rishna meant. We're speaking about a small size Pirtza, 10 Amis, which is generally a Pesach. But since it's at the corner, it doesn't have a din of a Pesach, rather as a din of a Pirtza, and the Chatzar is deemed to have been breached to Rishus Haram. V'chein bayis shenifratz mishtei rechoysa, likewise a house that was breached on both sides. So we're going through the similar steps now. Maishnam uruch achas. Why mishtei rechoys? Let's say the breach would only be miruch achas on one wall. Why would that be okay? Why would that not pose a concern? Maishnam uruch achas. Why, if the breach is only on one side, would it not pose a concern? The Amrina Pitikrioid Vesaisa. Since we're speaking about a home, so even if it's actually large in size, the breach, you still have a solution. Pitikra solution. Pitikra means if you have a roof, a ceiling, so it's a flat roof, a flat ceiling, and the vertical surface which you face when you enter that roofed area, that vertical surface creates that impression of separateness. Tosfos learns as a Pesach. So we view that vertical surface, right at the beginning of that wall, of that roof, as though it descends downwards. Pitikra, the tip of that surface, the point, descends downwards and creates an enclosure. Pitikra yard v'sais. So here, if you have a pirtza in a home, if it's from Ruach Achas, meaning it's in just present in one wall, so what's wrong with that? Maishnam Ruach Achas Amrina Pitikra Yidusaisim. It doesn't create a concern because the Pitikra comes down and closes it off. If that's the case, Mishtei Ruchos Nami. Even if the Pirtza is present in two directions, in two walls, it doesn't pose a concern. Lema Pitikra Yidusaisim. Let the roof just come down and close it off. So that's the Pshat in the Mishnah. This bias that has a double pirtza is considered to be breached and exposed. What's wrong? Let the roof just come down and close it off. Amri Dvei Rav, Mishmei de Rav. So in the yeshiva of Rav, they say the name of Rav. Kegoyin was speaking about a case, Shenifras Bekeres Zavis. Just as we mentioned earlier, the pirtza in the home as well was at the corner, in which case it can't provide Pesach. That's off the table. What about the ceiling? The Pitikra Yoyed V'Soysim. Why doesn't that work? V'kiruyoy ba'alachsen. We're speaking about a slanty roof. In which case you can't go ahead and apply the lach of Pitikra Yoyed V'Soysim, which only applies to a flat roof, which has that vertical surface right at the beginning of that roof, which comes downward. However, a slanty roof, a crooked ceiling, in that case, you can't apply Pitikra Yoyed V'Soysim. The Lech LeMeimar Pitikra Yoyed V'Soysim. So according to Rav, we're speaking about a pirtza which is merely 10 amas in size, which generally has the din of a Pesach. Why in this case? Why now Mishnah? Don't we treat it like a Pesach? Because A, we're speaking where the pirtza was in a corner, which can't provide Pesach. And regarding the pirtza in the home had a slanty roof, in which case you can't apply particular Yoyed V'Soysim. Continues the Gemara, Ushmuel Omar, Shmuel a different approach to the Mishnah because he preferred to interpret the Mishnah as speaking about even a leveled roof, not a slanty roof. The Mishnah doesn't describe it as a slanty roof. So we're speaking even if it's a leveled roof. And therefore he took a different approach to our Mishnah. Ushmuel Omar, Afilu B'Yeser Me'aser. The Pirtza in our Mishnah can be speaking whether it's 10, or even greater than 10 in size. If that's the case, Ihachi, if so, Miruach Achas Nami. Why does the Mishnah? I was speaking about the Chatzar here. Okay, so the Chatzar had a Pirtza which is greater than 10. If that's the case, so why does it have to be Mishtei Ruchoysa? Why does the Mishnah insist on having the Pirtza present along two walls in two directions? If the Pirtza is greater than 10, it's no longer a Pesach. Even if it's just on one side of the Chatzar, it's already breached. Says, well, you're right. If this happens to a chatzar, there's a pirtza greater than 10 in present in a chatzar, certainly it's considered to be breached, even if it's just along one of the walls. The reason why the Mishnah references two walls, Mishum Bais, on account of the house, where over there, if it's only on one side, there's no concern. Concern is only because it's on two sides. Why? Because if it's on one side, then you can take particular advisaisim. It closes off even a gap of greater than 10. The concern is only because it's on two sides. And on account of bias, the Mishnah described the Pirtz of Chatzar also as being along two sides, although it's not really necessary there. Says the Gemara, okay, so you're telling me that this Pirtz is present in a house. If it's only Miruach Achas, then there's no concern because Pitikri are decisive. The concern is only because Mishtei Bruchais, it's on two sides. Says the Gemara, Ubayis Gufe. Now, you have the same kasha on the house itself. Ubayis Gufe Tikshiv. We have a kasha on the house itself. Maishno Miruach Achas. Damrina Pitikri are decisive. Why is it different when the Pirtz is only found Miruach Achas alongside one wall? So you tell me there's no concern there. Why? Because Pitikra comes down and closes it off. If that's the case, Beis Ruchis Nami. Even if we have a double Pirtz, a Pirtz present alongside two walls of the Bais, there as well. Beis Ruchis Nami. Name a Pitikra Yard Vesaisim. Let's close it off using the concept of Pitikra. So what's the difference between one Pirtz and two Pirtzes? That's the first kasha. Vesu, another kasha. Do you propose that according to Shmuel, Pitikra can close off a Pirtz? Vesu, mi isle le Shmuel Pitikra yoyed v'soysem? Does he subscribe to this halach? Doesn't seem so. For itmar, but haven't we learned? That's actually machlokes. Ach sadra bebikl. You have this freestanding roof sitting out in a valley. The reason why we mention valley is to indicate that there are no mechitzas here whatsoever. You have a canopy, a terrace, some sort of roofed area, sitting out in the open. Rav Amar, mutal tata b'kulam. One is allowed to carry underneath this terrace. Why? Because according to Rav, pi tikra yoreh d'saisim. The fact that there's a roof here, even though there are no mechitzas, it's just a plain freestanding roof. The pi tikra comes down on all four sides of this roof, creates a proper enclosure, which allows you to carry freely throughout this entire area. Ushmul Amar Ein Metaltalin Ba Elob Dal Damis. Shmuel says you limit it to four amis. Why? Because we don't enclose the area, applying the concept of Pitikra. So apparently Shmuel doesn't hold of pulling down that ceiling. That's Mahalei Kasha. This is not really a Kasha, because he really holds a Pitikra. It just depends where. It depends to what extent. Ki lesli bedalad. Sure, he doesn't hold of doing a quadruple pitikra, pulling it down all four sides. Aval b'sholosh isli, but a triple one he does, meaning a freestanding roof doesn't have any enclosure whatsoever. You can't just create an enclosure through the pitikra. But if it already has some sort of enclosure, at least one wall with a roof, then yeah, the pitikra concept can go ahead and be mashlim, complete the enclosure. So therefore now Mishnah, certainly we have a home with mechitzes, which merely has a pirtza, you can go ahead and use the concept of pitikra. So that's why the Mishnah is specifically describing the pirtza as being present where? B'shtei ruchais, alongside two areas, mechitzes of this home. In which case you can't say pitikra yad v'saisim, even according to Shmuel. Well, why? One second, why? Mikom kasha. Now we still have a kasha because if it's just two pirtzes, it's okay. Shmuel applies pitikra as long as there's some mechitza here. It's not a freestanding roof. It's a fully built home with some pirtzes. So why can't we say pitikra in this bais that has a pirtza b'shtei ruchas? Says the Gemara, Kida amri beirav mishmei derav. Just as similar to the Beirav, who quoted Rav earlier, who described the Mishnah, the Pirtz and the home, as follows. Kigoyin Shenifretz Bekaren Zavetz, we're speaking where the Pirtz was experienced at the corner of the home, in which case it's not a Pesach. That's number one. The Kiruya Balachsain was speaking that the roof of the home was not level, was actually slanted, in which case you can't say Pitikra. So just as we interpreted according to Rav in that manner, in similar fashion, let's interpret it according to Shmuel. Similarly, Hachanami here as well, according to Shmuel, we'll say it a bit differently. Kigon Shenifretz B'Keren Zavis. The number one. The Pirtza on the home, the Shtei Ruchais is not actually two separate, distinct Ruchais. We're speaking where the Pirtza took place at the meeting point of two Mechitzes. The Kiruya Ibar Ba'arba Obarba was speaking that the Pirtza, which was greater than 10 Amis, actually ate away part of the ceiling as well. So part of the roof went missing. How much? 4 tefach into the home went missing. Now what happens there? As Rashi explains, due to that collapse of the wall, including the part of the ceiling as well, the only way to say pitikra here is to apply a quadruple pitikra, which according to the Shmuel doesn't work. So what are we speaking? That the wall at the corner went missing. So we have a pirtza of greater than 10 amis. Not only the wall, but also the ceiling above it. Part of the ceiling disintegrated. 4 tefach into the home. Right? So now it's like this. If you look down at the ceiling, this is what you have. You have the pirtza along the corner, which also took along part of the ceiling as well. 4 tefach into the home. And 4 tefach into the home on top, 4 tefach onto the home on the side. So let's say the pirtza was northeast. So on the north, part of that ceiling disintegrated 4 tefach into the home, inverted into the home, and the other side as well, 4 tefach into the home. So this results in a requirement of a quadruple pitikra, because in order to enclose that home that has been breached at that corner, it's not enough to just bring the tikra down in two locations, meaning along that corner. Because since the tikra went missing into the home as well, it created a zigzag. 4 tefach into the home, then about five amas across, about. Then 5 amas on the other side, a bit more than 5 amas. And then 4 tefach to come back out, to be even with the exterior walls of the home. So it created a four-way zigzag, requiring 4 segments of pitikra. Right? You have to bring down the first 4 tefach element. So 4 tefach is a makam chashav. It has a significance. That's why it has to be closed off on its own. So you have to bring down the tikra by the 4 tefach element. You have to bring down the pitikra next to it. Pitikra on the next segment of the zigzag. And finally at the 4th segment, the other 4 tefach element, which brings you back to the exterior wall of the home. So this quadruple pitikra, according to Shmuel, doesn't work. As we learned earlier by the Echsad Reb Bika, according to Shmuel, you can't make pitikra to create 4 mechitzes. Now the Tosfos Rosh actually asks on this Pshat and Rashi, he says, yeah, by the freestanding achsadra out in the bika, which is totally exposed without any enclosure whatsoever. Yeah, over there Shmuel says the pitikra can't go ahead and create an enclosure. But in this case, where you have a home which is pretty much enclosed, you just have a pirtza, albeit a large pirtza at the corner, where you need to apply a quadruple pitikra, but you still have enclosure around the other side. So what's the concern? Why wouldn't Shmuel allow it? That's the kashi es on Rashi. This is very different than a freestanding roof that has no enclosure. So apparently Rashi holds that the number 4 is a decisive number, because 4 mechitzes is what creates an enclosure. And just as we find that Shmuel doesn't allow the pitikra to create 4 mechitzes in the achsadra, likewise, any time you need to have a quadruple pitikra, it won't work. Because 4 mechitzes, 4 segments of pitikra is just too much. That can create an entity, that can close an area, that can't be accomplished through a pitikra. Even in this case where it's merely in the corner, it just technically happens to be split into 4 sections. So that must be Rashi's pshat. In any case, We conclude like this, that Shmuel's approach to the Mishnah is as follows. We have the chatzar or the bais that has a pirtza even larger than 10 amis. But since it's at the corner, you can't say it's a Pesach, because a Pesach at the corner doesn't work. And why don't you say Pitikra when we have the corner pirtza at the home? So according to Shmuel, we're speaking about a flat roof, right? It wasn't a slanty roof. So what's wrong with Pitikra? The answer is because we can't apply Pitikra when you need to go and create four mechitzes. That's Rav's approach. That's Shmuel's approach. Rav's approach is a bit different. He learns that we're speaking about a pirtza which is merely 10 amos in size, which generally can be considered a Pesach. Why in this case isn't it? Because it's Keren Zavis at the corner, which is not a Pesach. Why can't we apply Pitikra? The answer is, we're speaking about a slanty roof, which can't be applied to the concept of Pitikra Yerid V'Seis. So apparently Shmuel didn't want to go with Rav's Pshat because the Mishnah doesn't speak about a slanty roof. It says, Gemara, Shmuel le'yama k'rav. Shmuel didn't follow Rav's interpretation. The Mishnah doesn't speak about a slanty roof. Apparently, you're speaking about your typical standard flat roof. And therefore, he didn't want to interpret the Mishnah in accordance with Rav's Pshat. Likewise, for Rav, le'amaka Shmuel. Rav didn't follow Shmuel's Pshat, who described it as a flat roof and was speaking about a large size breach, where you can really say Pitikra because it's a flat roof. Problem is because it was at the corner, part of the roof disintegrated with the pirtza of the mechitza, which created a need for a quadruple pitikra. Why didn't he follow that pshat? Very simple, because Rav holds even a quadruple pitikra is legal. Rav lama kishmo and Cain havi l'achsadra chachsadra. It's like that achsadra, that even if it requires a four-way enclosure, you can do so with a pitikra. So in this case, the home would not be considered parts. Rav Tamei, Rav follows his shita, Tamach Sadra Muta, Latalta Bekula. He holds that by this Achsadra, you can carry throughout the area. The Itma, as we learned, Achsadra Bika, if you have this freestanding roof out in the open, Rav Amar Muta Latalta Bekula, one may carry beneath it because it is deemed to be enclosed, using the concept of Pitikur Yerid V'Seis on all four sides of this Achsadra. Ushmol Amar, you can only carry it in 4 amis. Why? Explains the Gemara. Rav Amar, Mutal Talta Bekula, may carry freely. Amrina Pitikra Yerid V'Seisim. He holds that the tip of that overhang is viewed as though it descends downwards, creates a full enclosure, creates a proper Seyachat. Ushmol Amar, Ein Metalten Ba El Barba Amis. You're limited to 4 amis. Loi Amrina Pitikra Yerid V'Seisim. We don't bring down the tip of that tikra. And as Gemara explained earlier, because Shmuel will not allow it to be applied where you need to create 4 mechitzes. So basically the difference between Rav and Shmuel in the way they interpret our Mishnah, the reason why Rav didn't follow Shmuel's approach, it was really based on a previous machlekes, a previous notion, where Rav disagreed with Shmuel's concept. He holds you can apply Pitikra to this extent. Therefore, he couldn't follow Shmuel's Pshat, which was based on the fact that we don't apply a quadruple Pitikra. So that compelled him to learn the Mishnah differently. We're speaking about a slanty roof, and a slanty roof can't be viewed as though it descends downward. Continues the Gemara. So we have the Machlokes between Rav and Shmuel by the Achsadra. Rav says we apply Pitikra in all directions. Shmuel says we don't. Now, what size Achsadra are we speaking about? How large is this breach, is this opening? So we have two approaches. According to the first approach is, Be'eser kuli amu lepligi. There's no machlokes when it's merely 10 amas wide. Because that's a sheer Pesach. So although it's fully open, it doesn't have a real tzuras HaPesach. Right, your typical Tzuras HaPesach has a wall on either side, which gives the impression of an entrance right here. It's missing the entire mechitza, just a freestanding roof. So certainly, the standard concept of Pesach can't be applied here. However, since it conforms to the shear of Pesach, it's limited to the Esa, which is a shear of Pesach, the Gemara maintains that all agree, Even Shmuel would agree you could apply Pitikra here, to use the roof as a Pesach, even on all four directions. Be'eser kuli amli pligi, all agree if it's only 10, it's okay. Ki pligi, when is the machlekes? Be'eser me'eser. When we're trying to cover an area, enclose a ruach, which is more than Eser, which is greater than Shir Pesach. Therefore, according to Shmuel, you're limited. According to Rav, even then, you could apply Pitikra. Vikad Amri, there's another version. Be'eser kuli amli pligi, if the side of the Achsadr, which you're trying to enclose, is larger than 10, which is greater than a Shir Pesach, all agree that you will not apply Pitikra to this extent. Ki pligi be'eser, machlekes is only if it's Eser, which is Shir Pesach. And over there, Rav says, yeah, you can apply an unlimited amount of Pitikra, where Shmuel says you're limited. Says the Gemara, v'hod amar Yehuda, if that's the case, what about the statement that Yehuda said, koira dalid mata b'churva? Let's say we have a beam running across a churva, it ruins a collapsed home, uninhabited home. Where the machitzas are pretty much collapsed, but there's a beam running across it. This koira is four tefach wide. So you have a beam running across, it's four tefach wide, which, as Rashi explains, is large enough to create a proper enclosure within it. Because, as we learned the other day, a machitza needs to be ten tefach high and also needs to be four tefach wide, meaning you have to enclose an area which is at least 4x4 tefach. So this koira, which is four tefach wide, can potentially house a rishis sayachad underneath it. So Yehuda tells us, yeah, koira dal d'mata b'churva, it allows carrying beneath it. Why? Employing the concept of pitikur yared v'saisim. This beam has points facing downward. So we go ahead, let's say we have a long beam. So the point, the vertical surface on the far side will descend downward. On the near side, descend downward. On the left and the right as well. So we have a fully enclosed area utilizing a quadruple pitikra. Rav Nachman, Omar, Rabbi Ravor. Rav Nachman quoted Rabbi Ravor, a similar halacha, by a koira, dalet matir b'mayim, a koira which is suspended above water. So for instance, we have that joint pit, the Bursha Ben Shtei Chatzeres, which we discussed earlier in the Mishnah, which requires a machitza, in order for the members of both Chatzeres to make use of it. So this bar was situated right in the middle, right at the boundary of the two Chatzeres. Let's say you have a koira suspended above it. It's matir b'mayim. It allows use because it creates an enclosure beneath it, utilizing a quadruple pitikra. Says the Gemara, so these two statements, mani, in accordance with which shita, will he state it? Says the Gemara, lahach lishna da amres be'eser le'pligi. According to the first approach, that when the gap is merely 10 amos in size, which is Shir Pesach, le'pligi, all agree, even Rav and Shmuel both would agree that you can apply a quadruple pitikra. So according to that version, be'eser, v'divrei hakol, these halachas, we're describing a gap which is merely 10 amos in size, and therefore all agree pitikra can be applied on all four sides. Lahach lishna, however, according to the second lashon, the amos that you said be'eser pli, that when it's larger than 10, all agree you can't apply a quadruple pitikra. Machlekes is merely when it's 10 or smaller. That's when the machlekes is. Rav maintains you could apply pitikra on all four sides, where Shmuel says you can't. So according to that version, Kirav, these statements of Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Nachman, that you can go ahead and use a beam as an enclosure, utilizing the concept of a quadruple pitikra, apparently we're speaking that it is 10 amos or smaller. In that case, Rav holds, it can apply pitikra on all four sides. Okay, time for a brief chazara of today's daf. We began with Machlekes Rabbi Shmuel, and we ended with Machlekes Rabbi Shmuel. So we began with a discussion of something which changed the equation on Shabbos. We have two chatzeres who made their own independent eras, and then the dividing wall collapsed on Shabbos. So Rabbi maintains, now it's awesome. Shmuel says, no, Shabbos kiven shehutra hutra. Once it was in heter, at the onset of Shabbos, it remains in place. We learned about a chatzer, which was nifras of Shesu Rabbi. The Gemara concluded, Machlokes is regarding the space which is immediately near the Rishus HaRabim, meaning the makom ha-mechitza, which is considered to be tzidu rishas harabim. Rabbi Leza holds has zinu rishas harabim, since it's used by the rabbim. According to Rabbanan, it doesn't have a din of rishas harabim, it's merely considered a karmelis. We learned about a chatzar, which was breached, a house that was breached, or a mavi, whose kairo lechi went missing on Shabbos. By machlekes, according to Rabbi Yehuda, they had to remain throughout Shabbos. But in the future, you have to go ahead and repair it, according to Rabbi Yosi, just as in the future it's hasar, during the Shabbos as well, it will be asar, because it's mechitzah, it went missing. We have two approaches to the Mishnah. Rav's approach was, we're speaking about a peretz which is merely 10 amos in size, which generally we regard it as a Pesach. Why in this case don't we? Because we're speaking where it happened, Bekeren Zavis, at the corner, where the two ruchais meet each other. So if it happened by the chatzar or by the home, it's no longer regarded as a Pesach. Now if it happened in the bayis, what about Pitikra, Yorid V'soysim? Why can't we use the tip of that ceiling, the vertical face of that ceiling, and use it as a Pesach, as though it descends downwards and encloses the peretzah? Rav tells us because we're speaking about a home which has an alachsein roof on a slat, which doesn't feature this vertical face of the roof, which can be pulled downward. Shmuel's approach is that our mission is speaking about a flat roof, which can certainly provide full pitik or yard v'soysim services. So then, what's the problem with this pirtza? Even if it's greater than 10 amis, but it should be considered enclosed through the pitikra. The answer is because the pirtza occurred at the corner where the two ruchais meet, and also part of the roof collapsed with it. And that necessitates a quadruple pitikra. And according to Shmuel, you can't do that. And therefore, this bayis is considered to be parts. And this is based on an earlier machlekes by the Achsadra Biku, where Rav says you can apply pitikra on all four sides, whereas according to Shmuel, you must have some sort of enclosure. You can't go ahead and apply pitikra to create four mechitzas. The Gemara concluded that according to one version, the machlekes in Rav and Shmuel only applies to a case where you need to enclose a gap which is greater than 10 amis, greater than a shir Pesach, but if it's only eser amis, all agree, you can apply a quadruple pitikra, according to the second version of the Gemara. When it's more than 10 amis, all agree, you can't apply a quadruple pitikra. Machlekes is in the case where it's eser amis, which is still within the shir of Pesach. Rav says you can, and even there, Shmuel says you can't go ahead and do pitikra on all four sides.